Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to our phone callers in just a moment. I want to read a letter before I do. Says, I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I don't get the Bible Answer Man broadcast anymore in the Portland, Oregon area. The program really inspired me to live and share my faith with others. When Hank answers a question, it's like someone ringing that bell at the fair with a sledgehammer. It usually is right on. Continue in the good work you're all doing. God bless you, your brother in Christ, Wesley. Want to mention that those of you that are not getting the Bible Answer Man broadcast via the radio and are listening to me now on the web at equip.org, pray that God will provide the resources so that we can go on in places like Portland, Oregon, which we would very much like to do. It's all a matter of resources. We ask people to stand with this ministry for that very reason. We're not asking you to give to us, but through us, so that we can reach people in Portland, Oregon, and all around the world. So you can give and become a member of the support team and make a difference for time and for eternity. Right now, when you do, join the support team as my way of saying thank you. I will send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or call me at 888-7000-CRI, or you can write me, as always, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone call. Sal, first up in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Sal.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for your call.
I just had a question on the resurrection. And, you know, well, I believe, well, our church says it, the resurrection, we don't go to heaven now. When we're resurrected, then we go to heaven. Right now, your soul goes to, like, Abraham's bosom when you die now as a holding place. But now, like, in Matthew, in, where is it, 27:51, I think, it talk, when Jesus, after he was, raised, it talks about when the temple, the veil of the temple was torn, and the earthquake, the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now, was this resurrection, those saints that were raised, did they go to heaven?
Well, this actually took place at the time that Jesus Christ died. So it was before he was resurrected from the dead. The language here, of course, points forward to the resurrection, which is itself an inauguration of the eschaton. The eschaton is our hope, the consummation of all things, including our own resurrection, what will happen with respect to the judgment and the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ is being enhanced and underscored. He is the King of righteousness who will rise from the dead as the earnest of all of those who will rise. But here's the point specifically with respect to your question. What happens when you die is absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what Abraham's bosom or paradise represents. It is to be in the presence of God. When Jesus Christ returns at the end of time, at that time, heaven will not just be a relationship It will be a location. It will be this universe restored. On top of that, our relationship with God enhanced, because we will sojourn in fellowship with the resurrected Christ throughout eternity. That's the hope of the believer. That's what we look forward to. That's what we long for. So my dad died in 1997, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But one day, when Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right, my dad's soul will return to his body. His body will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and he will reign in a restored universe with the Lord, which is to say that the universe now groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. But then it will no longer groan, for it will be restored. Paradise lost will have been turned into paradise restored.
Paradise restored, which is the New Jerusalem, is above, not on the earth.
No, it is on the earth. In fact, that's what you see in Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The picture here is very similar to what we see in Genesis when Adam and Eve sojourned or walked with God in the cool of the day. Paradise lost will be paradise restored. So the notion that God's going to take us up to some safe place up there is really not a biblical notion. The Bible doesn't communicate a platonic kind of faith, but a very physical faith. God created a physical universe. He created us with physical bodies, and we will be in that condition for all eternity. That's why we bury, by the way, because we honor the body. We believe in the resurrection of the body, not escape from the body.
The body will become immortal like Jesus. Angels also have a spiritual body, and they also have a body which they can make themselves visible.
Angels are spiritual beings, so angels do not have bodies, nor can angels, by the way, create bodies, but God, by his own creative prowess, can give an angel a physical appearance for a time. And certainly we see that in what are called angelophanies in the Old Testament, where, for example, angels appear with the Lord by the great trees of Mamre and visit Abraham.
The, these Jehovah Witnesses, they try to make a claim that there is no heaven because, says John the Baptist, not even John the Baptist went to heaven. But like I told them, that's because no one goes to heaven now until Jesus returns.
Unfortunately, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a kind of murky view of what goes on. They have two kinds of people. They have a heavenly crowd and they have an earthly crowd. There's 100.
Well, they believe in 144,000, but that's of the 12 tribes, which they don't understand.
Well, I fear that many people do not understand what's going on with the 12 tribes, to be real honest with you. I mean, there are a lot of people that have convoluted notions in this regard.
They think that anyone that is someone that Jesus picks into the 144,000, to them it doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Gentile. And they seem to know themselves who was picked. And I asked them, I said, well, how do you know who was picked? You know, and I said, how do you know that 144,000 aren't already there?
Well, this whole idea of a literal 144,000 must surely stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic Jehovah's Witnesses beyond the breaking point. I mean, I've said this before, but 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile. The other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by Roman hordes. the pattern of the scriptures to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. And that's why the 144,000 is a beautifully symbolic number that points to the full complement of God's people. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. I want to mention as we go to break how important it is that you stand with the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. Your gifts will be used for the propagation of the gospel, and only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God has used your faithfulness for His glory and the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Robbie in Paintsville, Kentucky. Hi, Robbie.
How you doing, Hank? I'd like to thank you for taking my call. I had a question about predestination. Me and another gentleman was talking the other day, and it got brought up in the conversation, and it was referring to in Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 29 and 30, talking about predestination and people believing, you know, that from taking this bit of scripture and also in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, that, you know, what's the purpose of going to church? What's the purpose of believing if we're predestined for hell or predestined for heaven? And I didn't really know how to approach that question. I was just wondering if you could help clear that up for me a little bit on what it's really trying to say. I mean, I have my belief of what the Bible's telling us here, but I just like your input on that.
Well, I think this passage in particular points out that God calls and humans must respond to that call. So as Paul puts it right here in Romans 8:28, we must love him. Now, I do understand that there is a debate between libertarian freedom and circumstantial freedom. And those who hold to compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom say that you can only respond to the call if you have been regenerated. In other words, you can only respond to the call if God has taken you and rewired you such that you are enabled to respond to the call, and those who have not been enabled to respond to the call cannot respond to the call any more than cows can fly. But that's not the position of all Christians. That's a debate amongst Christians. There are those who say, on the basis of this very passage, that God calls and humans must respond to that call, and therefore we must love him, as Paul says in Romans 8:28. So the issue is never a debate about predestination, because all Christians believe in predestination. The debate is always on what basis are we predestined? And there are different vantage or viewpoints on that. To make that clearer for you, we've actually conducted a debate in the Christian Research Journal so that you can read the best Calvinist mind that holds to compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom, and you can listen to the best non-Calvinist mind, as it were, that holds to a libertarian freedom. Debate this in a written format, and then you can take the points that are made, check them out in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. That article is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you want to hang on, we can send it out to you, or you can just check it out on the web at equip.org.
Okay, I'll hang on. I really appreciate it.
Well, you got it. And of course, a fatalist believes the future, especially regarding the destiny of individuals, is fixed. A theistic fatalist believes that a personal God unconditionally determines where individuals will go when they die, whether that be heaven or hell. Calvin, of course, taught that Paul teaches us that the ruin of the wicked is not only foreseen by the Lord, but also ordained by his counsel and his will. Not only the destruction of the wicked is foreknown, but that the wicked themselves have been created for this very end, that they may perish. The non-Calvinist says, I don't agree with that. And again, I think that this is something that we should learn to debate vigorously, but ultimately not divide over. I did that with my dad. I grew up in a Calvinist home, and my dad and I had many vigorous debates after I had come to faith in Christ myself, and we went out and had a cup of coffee together. I believe my Father is in heaven, and I will spend an eternity with him, and I disagreed with him on this point. Next up is Dennis, listening in Colorado. Hi, Dennis.
Hank, I appreciate what you and your ministry are doing there.
Thank you.
I'm an engineer, and looking at the things that I've been taught through school and my education, you know, talking about the age of the earth, I think the last thing that I've read was showing that the age is right at 4.5 billion years old. And as a born-again believer, as a Christian, I don't see that age when I read the Bible. And wanted your comments on that.
Well, I don't think that the Bible gives us a chronology of creation, and therefore I don't know that on the basis of the Bible we can know exactly how old the universe is or how old the earth is. The Bible gives us a hierarchy of creation, and I think all too often we try to get out of the hierarchy a chronology of creation. And I think also we need to recognize that God has given us two books. He's given us the Bible, which is special revelation, but He's also given us general revelation. The heavens declare the glories of God. They proclaim the work of His hands, and day after day they pour forth speech and proclaim knowledge. We need to adeptly read both the Bible, know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, or another way of putting that, we need to know how to mine the Bible for all its substantial wealth. But we need to be able to do the same thing with respect to the earth itself, the world. God's fingerprints are on that world, and we have to learn to read that book adeptly as well. And so in doing that, we may be able to come up with some kind of chronology. But I don't think we want to ask the wrong book the wrong question.
That's a good answer. I appreciate that.
Well, bless you, my friend. I appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Marion. She's listening in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Marion.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I had a question for you tonight. We got the news last night that our neighbor fatally shot his wife and then took his own life, unfortunately leaving behind some children. And my question is, will his soul go to heaven or will it go to hell? I don't know that he was a believer. I know he went to church, but I don't know that he took Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yeah, and that's the operative question. All those who want a relationship with the Lord in this life can have that relationship. But God does not force Himself on anyone in this life, nor does He force Himself on anyone in the life to come. So those who do not want a relationship with the Lord in this life, they're not going to have a relationship with the Lord in the life to come either. And unfortunately, this is a choice that people make because they don't love the Lord. Jesus Christ made that plain Himself when He was talking to Nicodemus. Light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, with respect to your question, I can say with certainty that suicide is not the unforgivable sin. On the other hand, we have to recognize that suicide is murder. And in this case, you have a double murder. You have the murder of a wife and then the murder of oneself. So you have a double homicide that took place here, and a Christian dare not ever think about taking this prerogative upon themselves. Life and death is the prerogative of God. We can't take a prerogative of God and exercise that ourselves. So it's unthinkable for a Christian to do that. Now, it's certainly possible that someone who really loves the Lord is in this particular moment of angst and does something they wouldn't ordinarily do. Well, that doesn't take away their salvation, but this would be a very extraordinary circumstance. So we can't say that suicide is the unforgivable sin, but we can say that no Christian in their right mind would ever take a prerogative that belongs to God alone.
Right.
But pray for this family that is left without a mother and a father. What an incredible opportunity you have as a Christian to be a witness and to be the hands and feet of the Lord in this circumstance.
Yes. Well, we certainly will. I mean, we're going to do everything we can for the family. But it's such a tragedy, but that was just that was a concern, not knowing if he was a believer or not.
Well, again, the earth is the time that we have an opportunity while we are alive to choose the Lord, and God places everyone in such a position that they can make that choice. And that's the beauty that we read from the lips of the Apostle Paul in Acts. Acts says very clearly that God places people in the exact circumstances and position that they might find him and have a relationship with him. Says Paul, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men should seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. And I think as I read that passage that God has placed you in the exact position so that you know about a circumstance and you can be the arms and the feet of our Lord in a very desperate circumstance. I look forward to talking to many of you on another edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, I simply cannot continue doing what we do. Please stand with us prayerfully, if possible financially. Together we can make a difference for time and for eternity. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.